Once a convention of Arkansas state troopers was asked to submit the best excuse they ever heard for someone trying to get out of a speeding ticket. Lots of excuses came in. This was by and far the best. A trooper once clocked a semi-truck going at least 30 miles more than the speed limit down the freeway. So this trooper decided to pursue this semi-truck, got up right alongside it, but the truck just kept on going. So he turned on his sirens, but the truck just kept on going. He sped up in order to get alongside him and signaled for him to pull over to the side of the road, but the semi-truck just kept going and going and going. They pursued each other for mile after mile after mile until finally the semi-truck ran out of gas and pulled over to the side of the road. That's when the trooper got out, went over to the semi-truck, looked at the trucker in the eye and said, "Why didn't you stop? Didn't you see me behind you?" "Yes, I saw you behind me. Didn't you see my lights flashing?" "Yes, I saw your lights flashing." "Didn't you hear my siren blaring?" "Yes, I heard your siren blaring. So why didn't you stop?" "Well," said the trucker, 2 years ago, my wife ran away with an Arkansas state trooper, and I was afraid you were bringing her back." Sometimes people go to great lengths to try to outrun their past. What do you do when you're trying to outrun your past and it keeps catching up with you? I don't know about you, but we have a place in our house. It started out as a drawer, but now it's a closet, right? It used to be the junk drawer, and now it's the junk closet. Anyone else got a junk closet in their house? A junk closet, it's that place you put all the stuff you don't know what else to do with. It's that place you tuck away the things you should probably just get rid of, but you can't seem to throw away. Has anyone got a junk closet, a back closet that sits out of the way? I mean, it's the one place in the house that you can be sure that when the door is closed, nobody knows about all the junk that's behind the door, right? It's the one place when you give someone a tour of your house when they come to visit for the first time, it's the one door you never open, right? It's the one place on the tour that nobody ever gets to see. And when you're in a hurry to make sure that everything on the outside looks good, you can take all of the junk that's scattered around your house, shove it in the closet, and make sure that it just stays shut. Until the one day when you simply can't fit any more stuff in the closet. And you go to open the door, and what happens? It all falls out all over the place. Most of us have a back closet embedded in our hearts. A place where we put away all the stuff we don't know what else to do with. Where we tuck away all the things we should probably just throw away but aren't quite sure if we can get rid of. The back closet of our heart is like the back closet in our house. It's the one place when somebody new comes in and we take them on a tour of our lives. It's the one door we say, "Oh, don't worry about that door. No need to look behind that door." Sometimes the people who've even known us the longest, they see the door, but they have no idea what's actually behind it. Sometimes even the spouses we've been married to for years have no idea what sits behind the back closet door. Truth is, after a while, we're not even sure what's behind it anymore. We just know that it's full. And the day comes when we can't keep the door shut anymore, and the stuff in it simply spills out all over the place. What's in that closet? You know what's in that closet. Boxes. Boxes of guilt. There's files, files of mistakes. There's piles of dirty laundry, and yes, there's a skeleton or two tucked back in that closet. Those are all the things about us, about our past, the things we're afraid to show others, afraid to even look at ourselves sometimes, afraid that if anyone knew what was behind that one door, if they knew what was in there, we're afraid they wouldn't like us anymore. They wouldn't love us anymore. Probably wouldn't want to hang around us anymore. So we go to great lengths to keep that door shut. We go to great lengths to keep running away from the past that pursues us. The problem is, as you know, just like the back closet in your house, eventually, if you don't clean it out, something in there is going to start to stink. Something in there is going to start to smell, and it's going to start to move out beyond the closet, and everybody's going to come over to your house. They're going to be like, does anybody else smell what's going on in that closet? Do they know that it smells in the rest of this house? You've been to that house, right? You've been to that house. If you haven't, come on over after the service. We'll walk you by the closet. You can see it. There's a day when all of that guilt and all of that hurt and all of those hang-ups, all of the things that we try to escape eventually catches up with us. It damages our confidence, all that work to keep that door shut. It hurts our relationships. It keeps us stuck in the past. So what do you do about that closet? What do you do about that state trooper that keeps pursuing you time after time after time, and you're afraid that they are just your past trying to catch up with you? That's the moment that Jesus walks into our lives and offers us again one of his strange blessings. He walks into us and says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus says, blessed are those who have a clean heart. Blessed are those who have the courage to clean out their closets. For they are the ones who will see God. Each week that we've done this journey, the blessings have been a bit strange, we have admitted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't seem to mix in a culture that says, blessed are the strong and the tough. Blessed are those who mourn, who hurt, who have pain. That seems so strange to us. Blessed are those who know they're at the end of their rope. We have seen those blessings and we've scratched our head to see what Jesus was talking about. And finally this week we get a blessing that sounds a lot more like Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart. Doesn't that sound like something you'd want to put on a card and send to somebody? Blessed are the pure in heart. I'm here today to tell you, though, it does not come off as hallmarky as it sounds when Jesus first says it to those who first hear it. In fact, those who first heard Jesus say, blessed are the pure in heart, heard it as something completely and utterly radical. Because in the first century, that whole idea of purity was not something that people talked about going on the inside of them. In fact, religious people put all of their stake on purity codes that said purity came down to how you looked, how you presented yourself. You needed to look pure and act pure and speak pure. Those who were purity went to great lengths to make sure that everything on the outside of them looked perfect. Never worrying about what was happening on the inside of them. They especially believed in religious purity. They believed that's the kind of purity God was ultimately interested in, a purity that was in the external things. Looking right and saying the right things, hanging out with the right people, going to the right church, going at the right times, doing all the right religious things would make them pure, would put them into right relationship with God. And here comes Jesus and says that is not the kind of purity God is interested in. The kind of purity God is interested in has nothing to do with how it appears on the outside. The kind of purity God is interested in is exactly what's going on the inside. So if we come to church trying to act like we got it all together, that we've somehow figured out how to make all the pieces, if we come in our Sunday best trying to hide all of those blemishes, doing everything we can to keep the closet door shut, Jesus says you can stop. You don't have to work so hard to keep the closet door shut, Jesus says. That's not the kind of purity I'm looking for. That's not the kind of purity God is interested in. And I don't know about you, but I say thank God. Because we can spend so much time trying to make it look right and seem right and say the right things, all the while ignoring everything that's behind that closet door. And Jesus says, blessed are you when your heart is clean, when your heart is pure. Jesus says, get it right on the inside, and everything else on the outside will fall into place. So how do we do that? How do you get a clean heart, an unburdened heart? Don't you just want an unburdened heart, an unburdened soul, a clean closet in your life? This is where we can take a lesson from our brothers and sisters who gather in this place and have church in this basement 4 days a week. They gather in 12-step programs down in the basement, and they find the kind of healing and transformation that comes from a pure heart, because they've come to a place in their life where everything in the back closet finally spilled out all over everybody else, and they couldn't fake it and they couldn't hide anymore from their addiction. And they come to this point in their journey, they call it the fourth step, and it's the step where they make a decision to come clean. If you know anybody who's ever done a 12-step program or a journey of the 12-step, and if you have the kind of relationship with them that they can share with you what that journey's been like, ask them about their fourth step. Ask them about the time when they literally had to clean out their closet. They call it doing a moral inventory. Literally having the bravery to go back into that closet of their life and pull everything out one by one and taking an inventory of it by taking a look at it. They literally write it all down. For some, it's one page. For some, it's several pages. It doesn't matter, but they have this moment where they simply say, this is all of the stuff I've been trying to hide, and here it is. I've written it all down so I can look at it, so I can see it. See, something happens when you take an inventory of all the stuff in your closet. It suddenly becomes concrete, and you can look at it, and you can make decisions about it. It becomes more objective. Things have a way of becoming more concrete when they move from our lips to our fingertips. They have a way of becoming more real. They have a way of untangling themselves. And the amazing thing is when you lay it all out, you can begin to say, hey, there's some stuff in that closet that I've been holding on to for a long time that I can simply now let go of. Or looking at it in a new light, I can say, hey, you know, that one was never my fault in the first place. So many people have things in their closet from people who have hurt or abused them along their lives. And I'm here today to tell you, if that is something you keep in your closet, I want you to know, first of all, I am sorry. I'm sorry for the pain that that has caused you. I'm sorry for the guilt. And if you ever did an inventory and were to put that on there for the fear and resentment you have for those moments of abuse in your life, you can simply write next to it, not guilty. Not guilty. You can unburden yourself from doing that. You don't need to keep it hidden in the closet any longer. Some of the things committed against us are not our fault. And that's when where our AA brothers and sisters and our 12-step friends do something that's even more radical. They take that inventory and they find somebody that they can share it with. Somebody they trust. Somebody they can sit down and say, hey, I know you've been on this journey too. Let me tell you where I've been. Doesn't that sound like the most frightening thing to do in the world? Is to actually let somebody see the contents of our back closet? It scares us to death. But here's what they will tell us, those who have taken that journey together, is they discover that their greatest fear actually didn't happen. When they showed somebody what was actually inside their back closet, guess what? The person didn't leave them. The person didn't judge them. The person didn't hate them. In fact, the person began to love them even more than they did before. There's something about showing somebody who we really are, and they begin to say, boy, for all the things that you've been through all the twists and turns, you are a stronger person than I ever realized. There's three profound things that'll happen if we believe Jesus when he says, blessed are those who have a willingness to clean out their hearts, who want to have a purity of heart. The first thing is they discover that there's something in the power of... Julie, can you hit that scripture for me? Thanks. Psalm 139. There's something about doing that kind of inventory, of kind of looking inside. God says to us, the psalmist says to God, search my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Then guide me on the road to healing. First thing is that internal search. The second one is that power of confession, of being able to find somebody, a trusted someone. And if you were thinking about doing that, you know right now who's that person you could share that with. I know you do. Here's what James says. Make this a common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live whole and healed lives. The prayer of the person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Confess your sin to each other so that we can pray for each other, so that we can live together whole and healed. I know the whole idea of confession for us Protestants kind of has a bad rap. But there's something powerful about going to somebody and actually confessing. I found two things on the internet that were just blew me away this last week. There are two sites out there. One is called Post Secret. If you want to see something interesting, go to this site called Post Secret, where literally people all across the country post their confession online. Simply trying to unburden all of the pain that they've been carrying, not being able to do it. And they confess to these amazing things. And as you read them one after the other, you can begin to see people's weight literally lifted from them. As you read it with them, you can feel the lightness of the secrets that people have carried with them. And there's this idea of posting it out there that someone's going to read it and someone's going to understand it and someone's going to pray with me and pray for me. Friends, we don't need the internet to do that. We've got the body of Christ. We love and know each other's journeys. We can do that with each other. And then I found this other site. It was called digitalabsolution.com. You literally have an online priest who checks his email once a day, and he goes on and he forgives people, offers God's forgiveness to them over the internet. Something about that, I know it's crazy, isn't it, Claire? Right? You don't need the internet, friends. We've got each other. But what that told me is that we carry so many heavy things with us, looking for a chance to unburden them. And finally, what you realize, Julie, one more, thanks. Finally, what we realize is this thing, and I think this is the thing that scares us the most about opening our closet. And if you don't hear anything else I have to say today, hear this. There's this fear if we open up our closet and we let it all out, that something in there is going to be unforgivable. Hear me. God forgives. If you read the scripture from one cover to the other, the one thing that will come up over and over and over again is that the character of this God is a God of forgiveness. And if you're afraid that that stuff in your back closet is going to prevent you from being forgiven, I'm here today to tell you that is not the character of God at all. 1 John 1:9, if you wanted to tattoo a verse on your arm to remind yourself, tattoo this one. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all of the things that have hurt us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. Tattoo 1 John 1:9 on the inside of your arm, for on those days when you feel like all that stuff in the closet is going to weigh you down forever, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. Hear the way the psalmist describes the character of God. One more, Julie. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. God is rich in love. He does not endlessly nag and scold us, nor hold grudges forever. One more. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is God's love for those who fear him. And that fear isn't the kind of trembling fear. That's the kind of fear that sits in awe of him. As far as the sunrise is from the sunset, he has separated us from our sin. All of that stuff in the closet, God knows and is willing to forgive if we are simply willing to clean out our closet. Jesus says, blessed are those who want a clean heart, for they are the ones who will see God. If you want to see God, take the next step and clean out your closet and discover that God stayed with you in the midst of all of the pain that weighs you down. His name was Matt. Matt was a young man at the last church I served. And after 9/11, Matt decided to join the military, join the army. And Matt did a tour in Iraq. Our congregation prayed for Matt every day while he was away. We had people signed up to pray for Matt. I remember when Matt came home, he asked if he could come over and see me. I didn't know what he wanted, and we met over in the office in my house, and I wasn't sure what was going on, and he started to talk about the things he had experienced while he was in the war. He started to talk about the things he had seen and the things he had experienced and the feelings that were going on inside of him, and all of a sudden I realized why Matt had come to see his pastor. Matt had come to see his pastor because he felt like he needed to clean out his closet. He felt like he needed somebody to listen to the experiences that he had. And he felt like he needed somebody to tell him that God forgave him. Forgave him for the things that his duty had called him to do that he now felt conflicted about. It was this moment. They never taught the Methodist preacher what it meant to be a pastor who took confession. In that moment, I took Matt's confession, and I watched him clean out his closet before me. And I watched a young soldier leave my house unburdened. I watched a young soldier see God for who God's mercy was. I realized with him, he was with him every step of the journey. And I realized that Matt had found peace. If that's what you're looking for today, I pray that you take that next step on this journey and find a way to clean out our closets. As we prepare to come to God's table, will you pray with me today? Dear God, you know our past. You know all of the good and bad choices we've made. I ask you today to give us the courage and the strength to come clean about all the ways we've hurt ourselves and hurt others. Help us be honest and no longer hide the things that hurt us. Help us reach out to those you have placed on our pathway so that they can become those trusted people who will listen to our confession and listen to the places we've been and help us understand who you are in the midst of it. God, as we have the courage to be honest with you and honest with others about what's going on in our lives, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.